This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. A wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. And we are going to talk about these judges a bit more. Deporting people. We're going to discuss how do we actually fix the country. What's the solution to this judge thing? We have so much we have to discuss this hour. We'll get to emails and other things. But I need to address something that was said last night on the show. Now, maybe you've already listened. Maybe you listened live last night. Maybe you downloaded the podcast on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. But if you did miss it, or if you heard it, here is what happened, and here's what I said. This is a little bit of a longer clip. And I want to make sure I'm doing this the right way. This is what was said last night. We have had in our kitchen here in the studio, I would guess for 3 years, at least 2 years, the largest container of honey you have ever seen in your life. How much did you say that container was that you bought, Chris? Jewish producer Chris bought a 5-pound jug of honey. Now, we don't use much honey here. Virtually the entire 10-gallon jug of honey has been in the kitchen forever. It is now, because this is 2 or 3 years old, a solid block. It's no longer honey. So I did what normal people would do. I turned around and I took this 3-ton jug of honey and I threw it in the trash can. Jewish producer Chris, of course, has to go in there to complain that I threw away the honey he purchased 2 or 3 years ago. What, Chris? Honey does go bad. Yes, it does. It just went bad. It's sugar. It's sugar. Of course it freaking goes bad, Chris. Everything goes, if it doesn't go bad, buddy, you shouldn't be eating it. Do you realize that? If it doesn't go bad, have you ever seen one of those internet things? Okay, all right. You got it. That's what happened last night. And not only, there are a couple things have happened since that aired last night. Not only did Chris, I kid you not, on the occasion, look, if you're watching on the simulcast or something like that, just, I'm holding it up. Chris dug it out of the trash can. He was so concerned that I had wasted money. On my life, I'm holding the jug. You see, you thought I was making it up? I'm holding it. He dug it out of the trash can. He not only dug it out of the trash can, he disrespectfully put it in a bunch of hot water to make it liquidy again. And now you see it? You see it swishing around? Now it's liquidy, as if that proves some kind of a point. That's one thing that happened in the last 24 hours. The second thing that happened in the last 24 hours is we have received approximately 10,000 emails from you saying, Jesse, honey doesn't go bad. Jesse, Chris is right. Jesse, honey doesn't go bad. And I thought about it. I thought about it long and hard because you don't ever want to be an arrogant person, right? Humility is something I've always placed a premium on. You know me, the Oracle. I want to be somebody who owns up to my mistakes. I want to be known as somebody who's willing to come on the air and acknowledge where I maybe have erred in this way or that way. And my intention was tonight, after your not so very nice feedback, my intention was tonight to come on the air and own the fact that honey doesn't go bad. You know what? I still think I'm right. Don't shake your head, Chris. I'm not taking anything back. I am standing on principle. I am going to act as if I've been correct all along. Yes, I got all your emails about Jesse. They found some 3,000-year-old honey in an Egyptian tomb, and it was good to go. Really? Did you try it? Did you try the honey? Do you think anybody tried the honey? Do you think they pulled the honey out of the tomb and that they spread it on some peanut butter toast or something like that? No, they didn't, because they knew it went bad. At some point along the line, that honey had to have gone bad. I totally disagree with science. I disagree with Jewish producer Chris. I disagree with all you smarty pants listeners. What, Chris? It's not aged like bourbon. The reason bourbon ages, Chris, is it has alcohol in it that kills all the germs that grow in it. There's no alcohol in honey. I'm looking at the ingredients, Chris. You know what the ingredient of this is? Honey. That's the ingredient, okay? It's not alcoholic. It's not antibacterial. It's not. There's no way honey stays good forever. Science is wrong. I am right, and I'm standing by it. Let's move on and talk about the country, shall we? Because the judges, look, a judge came out earlier today and said it was about USAID. Oh, sorry, you know what? You can't even disband USAID. You can't do this. You can't do that. The judge problem is really, really bad. We don't have to go over the same point we've made 1,000 times. That's why the communists put communist judges on the bench. That's why communists become judges to begin with. They're there to push the revolution forward, and they're there to stop anybody who tries to stop the revolution. Headline, this is from LifeZet. Soros-linked legal firm behind the lawsuit to block Trump's deportation of alien gang members. That's what communists do. They use the legal system as judges, as lawyers, as whatever, to protect the revolution, to move the revolution forward. You see it all over the media. You see this stuff.
Who says because you said the government doesn't have a statutory basis to do something and you say you can't do it, that means that you are siding with terrorists? And by the way, they have not been determined to be terrorists. As you noted at the outset, there's been no hearing on that.
Was that Lindsey Graham? Oh, no, that was Andrew Weissman. Sorry, I got the voices confused. But okay. We already covered it all last night. I don't have to cover it again. You know why communists want violent criminals here. They really, really want them here. If you vote Democrat, you want them here. Fort Myers City Council, you hear this little tidbit?
The argument, and I know there's no malintent to it, that we would risk federal or state funding if I don't sign up for this.
This is a member of the city council talking about having to cooperate with ICE and hand over the violent illegal criminals.
It is a tumultuous day and age. And this is a day I hate sitting in the seat. But my city's not for sale.
Person, thank you.
I'm sorry, it's making me laugh. So you got all that. You get the why. And because we're in the middle of all this, obviously people, they want a solution. It's human nature. It's not unique to politics. Human beings, when faced with a problem, they want a solution. They don't just want problems pointed out. They want to know, how do we fix it? I want to know the same thing. How do we fix it? I'm not unique in that. I woke up today angry about the judges. I'll be honest, it's getting to me. And I see this judicial activism taking place. It's bothering me, and it bothers me for the same reason it bothers you. Trump, the Trump administration, they're in there trying to fix all the things the communists have destroyed. And now here we have all these judges trying to stop them from fixing it. And I'm frustrated, and I want my country saved, and you want your country saved. And it can make us almost frantic. If you let yourself really get consumed by it, don't do this, by the way. If you let yourself really get consumed by it, it can make you frantic that our will, the will of the voter, is being denied by a bunch of communists in black robes. Don't let it make you frantic. But why don't we talk about the ultimate solution to it? Because the ultimate solution to it is not impeaching. That's fine. Impeach them. I love that. The ultimate solution to it is
not arresting some of these judges for sedition. And again, I'm fine with that too. Remember, this is me. I'm totally fine with that. Sounds good. Arrest them. That's fine. The ultimate solution is something. It's something that's going to be difficult. And it's not going to be what you want to hear, you see. And as is so often the case in life, to truly solve a problem is going to involve pain and patience. Do you want to? Do you really genuinely want to have a system of government where judges are not communists trying to burn down your country? Is that what you want? It's what I want. How do we get that? Let's talk about it next.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email the show, Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. We still have to get to all kinds of emails. We'll make fun of Joyanne Reed, little update on the whole Trump-Putin thing, and all that and so much more still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's just talk about this, though, about the judges. You want this stuff to stop. The judicial activism, you want the communist revolution to stop, you want all the roadblocks they're throwing in front of Trump to stop, you want it to stop, I want it to stop. And now we're sitting here, we're looking for a solution now. We want the Supreme Court to step in, and they should, by the way. We want an impeachment, we want to throw them in jail, we want that, and all that stuff is fine. But all these things, everything I just said, they're all temporary solutions. They will not actually solve the problem. They are temporary solutions. Solutions that may bridge the gap until we get a final solution, but they're temporary solutions. As in, I want you to think about an obese person. Maybe that's you. Keep churning, by the way. You'll get the weight off. Just keep trying. Anyway, maybe that's you. Maybe you've gotten to a place where you are so fat that the doctor is telling you they need to get this weight off your body now or you are at risk of heart failure. And so then you're at a place where, okay, I can, let me see. I can get liposuction. I get some kind of surgery, get them suck all the fat out of my body. Or I can go, well, what's that drug, Chris? Ozempic, something, whatever. That thing people are injecting in themselves. I'll do with that. But of course, and you can imagine how great that is for you. I think I'm going to inject myself with something that'll make me lose weight, right? Obviously, these are all things that can work temporarily. But none of them actually go to the root of the diet and exercise problem that is why you are so obese. And I'm not saying don't do any of those things. That's your business, your life, your health. But I'm saying you can't look at those things as the final solution. The final solution, the real solution to fixing this problem is changing and fixing the culture of the United States of America. The real solution is getting everyday citizens knowledgeable about the political process, knowledgeable about what is wrong, what is right, what is going on, knowledgeable and involved. And maybe you are sitting back now, throwing your hands up and saying, I'm already involved. I'm already knowledgeable. I know you are. It's not about you. But that's the only way we can save the country, truly, truly save it long term. Why do we have these judges? Why do we have, let's talk about the Soros DAs. That's a famous thing. That's a famous thing people talk about on the right all the time. I've talked about it many times. You have this communist foreign billionaire who sunk millions and millions of dollars, some of it yours, into DA races across the country, district attorney races across the country. But where is he running these DAs? Where? Is he in rural Montana trying to install a George Soros soft-on-crime DA who's going to turn some savage loose from jail to go rape and kill some more? Of course not. Where's he going to do this? He's going to New York. He's going to L.A. He's got various spots across the country.
He's walking into blue America, where morons vote Democrat over and over and over and over again. And because the people there are so stupid and so unaware of what they're voting for, they'll go into the voting booth and they'll vote Democrat every single time. And then 2 weeks later, they'll be screaming at their neighbor about why there's some kind of drug dealer on the corner stealing and killing people. How did he get out of jail? The truth is, we don't have a judge problem. We don't have a politician problem. We don't have an FBI problem. We have a people problem. It is our fault, not yours specifically, because you're already involved. So spare me the stupid emails that are not me. You know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the population as a whole. If it doesn't apply to you, don't apply it to you. Remember that old rule here on the show. But we have a people problem. I experience it in my own life. You experience it in yours. The frustration when you're trying to get your normie friends involved in politics. I've told you before, banging my head against the wall, talking to my friends, talking to family, talking to neighbors, totally unaware of what's going on in the world, why it matters, upcoming elections, school board. I've never voted in one of those. Primaries? Why would I vote? What are the issues? I'm not sure. The person who can't be bothered to take 10 minutes out of their day, not even a long time, not like you do or like I do. They can't be bothered to take 10 minutes a day to dig into the issues, what's going on, why it matters. That is what's dooming us. But we don't want to hear that, because what we want is Ozempic. What we want is liposuction. What we want is, I elected Donald Trump. Now, hey, Trump, fix it. But it doesn't work that way. It has never worked that way. It will never work that way. The communists took over every single institution in the country that was once the land of the free, and they didn't do it overnight. They didn't do it in one presidential election. They didn't do it in presidential elections at all. Those are practically a side issue for communists. Every single local election, state election, they are there, showing up, making sure communism is put into place. And the back end of all that is, they control things. The 20-year, the 10-year results of eating right and working out are, you're finally in good shape. No lipo needed. Keep the needle to yourself. That's how we save the country. It's going to be a long road. So we just have to accept that. Now, sometimes when you're on a long road, your knees can hurt. That just means you haven't been taking your relief factor every single day. I know what it's like. You start to get to mile two, mile three. All of a sudden, that left knee where you burned out all the cartilage on it in the Marine Corps starts to stiffen up on you. Relief factor's here for you. Wherever that pain is in your body, the daily nagging pain that holds you back, relief factor's there to fix it, not mask it. Take it away. It's 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. You take it every day. Just try it. You might be 3 weeks away from being pain-free. Go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Trust me, it works. We will be right back with a legal analyst, Ariel Azarad, to talk about all these judges and more. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I just got way more excited for this interview than I already was. As you are well aware, if we have guests, which is rare on this show, they pick their introduction music. That song is so great, I actually asked Jewish producer Chris if she picked it, and she did. Ariel Azarad, attorney Ariel Azarad, is joining me now. We have had her husband David on before, who was absolutely brilliant. Reached out, wanted to get some legal thoughts because I'm stupid, and apparently her musical taste is outstanding. Ariel, first of all, well done on that. Most people don't even know about Traffic.
Honestly, I have to tell you, Jesse, I came on your show maybe 5 years ago, and I did that walk-on song too, and I loved it so much. So I'm flattered that you like it too.
you done good. Okay, now,
thank you.
Obviously, you're going to have to dumb this down for, well, me, legally. We hear all kinds of legal arguments now, and it's tough to suss out who's who and what's what. Deporting people with green cards, visas, what are the, quote, due process rights of somebody who's here on a visa? How does this work? What is legal? What is not?
Yeah, sure. So I think what's been interesting about the debate that's happening now over Mahmoud Khalil is, you know, everyone's saying, well, he's got free speech rights and he's got a green card. You know, he's a special type of alien. He's not like someone on a student visa. Well, the real issue is that under the Immigration Nationality Act, you know, the basis for deportation is the same whether you're a student visa holder or a green card holder. You are what's considered a, quote, deportable alien. And if you violate any number of provisions, let's say you engage in marriage fraud or domestic violence, or say you have a criminal conviction, or in this case, if you, quote, espouse support for terrorism or terrorist activities, that's a reasonable basis for you to be deported. Another basis that's even more discretionary, I would say, is that if the Secretary of State, in this case Marco Rubio, believes that you pose a potential security threat or has belief that you pose a reasonable security threat, you also can be deported on that basis as well. And so this idea that you're in sort of a special cocoon or bubble because you have a green card, which is, you know, again, is a more permanent form of status in the United States versus like a student visa. The idea that you're in a special cocoon or protective bubble is just not true. And it's not borne out in any sort of reasonable fashion within our statutes. And so we actually have a long history of deporting individuals that do espouse support for terrorist organizations. You know, we in the past have denied entry to individuals who have put out flyers for terrorist organizations while living abroad. And what's interesting, Jesse, is that the basis for deportation and the basis for denial of entry are the same, which means that if you do something shady, we can deny you entry. If you do something shady after you get your visa, we can revoke your visa.
Ariel, can you explain to me how somebody like Mahmoud Khalil or this dirtball Brown University professor or any of these people, how do they get in here anyway? Don't they have enough ties to where anybody would look at their background, their friends, and just say no? How do we have so many people who are here with papers?
It's a very good question. And what's interesting, Jesse, you bring up a good point, is that recent court filings in the Khalil case actually demonstrate that he got his visa in November of 2024. Okay, so this is after he engaged in all sorts of crazy activity in Colombia. I mean, there's all sorts of reports coming out now that the Colombia students were holding janitors hostage, that they were obviously taking over buildings on campus, that they were harassing students and faculty. So this is after all the crazy behavior at Colombia unfolded in April and May of 2024. He was given a green card, I believe, 11 days after Trump's election, which, you know, I think, you know, again, there's a lot of discussion that perhaps he got his green card because his wife was already here and he was put on some sort of fast track. And I believe he got it within a year of applying. But I will say this, is that the wait list for a green card in the United States is around 4 million. And we give out, I believe, around 1 million per year. So he wasn't on the wait list for very long, which should raise a lot of questions, right? I mean, there's a lot of question marks here in terms of what is the actual vetting process, right? How much are we actually looking into the backgrounds of individuals who are filling out these forms and saying, yes, you know, I've been compliant with X, Y, and Z? Well, clearly he hasn't been, right?
Yeah.
In fact, if you look at his forms, he actually, you know, was dishonest in terms of, you know, his activity, obviously. So there's a lot of question marks here, and the hope is that the Trump administration will be able to at least resolve some of the damage or rectify some of the damage that's been done by the prior administration in terms of vetting. But no, absolutely, I think, you know, this is an issue of the iceberg, right? You know, Ernest Hemingway used to say that when you see an iceberg, 1/8 of it is above water and 7/8 is is below water. So I think that's what we're dealing with here.
Speaking with Ariel Azarot, attorney, kind of laying us out, getting us straightened out on all this immigration stuff. Okay, Ariel, I am a barbarian, as everybody is well aware. And when I hear that we snatch up some Hamas dirtball and send him packing, I not only cheer, I ask, why can't we do that with all these protests full of illegals? Every time you walk into New York City, every freaking time I go up there, there's a whole legion of these scumbags walking up and down the street advertising that they're here illegally. Los Angeles, it's like a daily routine. Are we not allowed to simply step in and say, are you here legally? Nope, on the plane. And can we do that?
Well, in a lot of instances, we require, or the federal government needs to have more cooperation from state and local authorities, which has been a huge problem. You know, the whole issue of sanctuary cities. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with what a lack of cooperation looks like in practice, but what I'm about to tell you is probably going to horrify you. You know, in instances where, for instance, an illegal has committed a crime, or they've been, you know, scooped up by local authorities, okay, they're taken to the county jail, they're detained there for some short amount of time, and eventually they'll be released by local authorities, especially in instance if it's a sanctuary city. Now, generally speaking, local authorities that want to cooperate with federal authorities will call up ICE and say, hey, you know, we have someone here who's obviously not supposed to be here. And ICE will come and they will, you know, they will take over, they will detain the individual. In instances where you have a sanctuary city, you actually have local authorities releasing the individual out into the public, and I would say in defiance or out of refusal of willingness to cooperate with ICE. And so what ICE is forced to do in those situations is actually stake out local jails and wait until the individual is released. Jeez. Yeah, in the hopes of actually getting the criminal or the illegal alien. So if you think about the amount of resources that have to be wasted because federal authorities are denied access by state and local officials, and they're forced to actually stake out and wait for the illegals to be released by local authorities. It's completely bananas. And this is what sanctuary cities have done time and time again. And it makes the job of federal authorities so much more challenging and so much more difficult. So it's kind of a long and winded way of saying that so much of, you know, so much of the ability of federal authorities to deal with immigration issues depends on their ability to coordinate with local and state authorities, because what you have is criminal law is at the state level and immigration law is dealt with at the federal level. And so those sort of spheres of authority tend to bump up against each other, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. Ariel, thank you so much. I'm so much smarter now than I was before, and that actually probably isn't saying very much, but thank you. I appreciate you and your taste in music.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jesse. It's always a pleasure to chat with you and happy to talk immigration or anti-terrorism stuff anytime.
Of course. All right. Now, you just heard what she said. It's a lot to take in. A lot of that stuff you probably knew, but why do we have so much violent crime on our streets, both from illegals and otherwise? Because elected Democrats across this country want it there. It's hard to accept that, but it's true. You must protect yourself because authorities across this country are totally okay with you being hurt very, very badly. When you go for that walk with your dog in the park, you need a burn a pistol launcher on you. When you go to the gas station, and I got to run down, it's going to grab a six pack. You need a burn a pistol launcher on you. In your home, by your bed, in your car, a Byrna pistol launcher will save your life. Ah, but I can't. I'm in New York. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. These savages believe in hurting people, and they're looking for someone right now. Is it going to be you or your wife or your husband or your daughter? BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse gets you a huge discount. Go get one. I own like five. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Maybe you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Did you hear this out of Australia? Not that you care about Australia, but just let me clarify. It's a pretty revealing statement when you really think about it.
I think the advocates for those changes need to explain, what do they want people to have the right to say? What kind of racist abuse do they want to see or be able to lawfully see on the streets of Sydney? I recognise, and I've fully said from the beginning, that we don't have the same freedom of speech laws that they have in the United States. And the reason for that is that we want to hold together our multicultural community and have people.
We don't have the same freedom of speech laws because we want to hold together a multicultural community. That's interesting. Why would freedom of speech, why would that hold back multiculturalism? Did you see UK's PM? What's that idiot's name? Starmer? Came out and complained about the rising tide of Islamophobia. Just remember the importation of foreign barbarians to destroy your country by the leaders of Western civilization. It's not an accident, and it's not done because they're really nice guys who are gently misguided. They bring these people in because you, the patriotic citizen, are just too much freaking trouble. And it's just a lot easier to bring in some barbarian and pay him a $500 Visa card and let him pillage your wife and daughter and then steal your country from you. It's a whole lot less trouble. Jesse, why can't judges overruling deportation be charged with treason? Whether or not it sticks, put them on the defensive. See, I love this way of thinking. This is exactly right. Do you remember the Roe versus Wade thing being overturned? Stay with me on this because this is going to come back to where we're at right now and in the Supreme Court. Remember when it leaked before the actual Roe versus Wade being overturned, before that decision came out, it leaked. And that was a huge scandal that never, ever, ever happens. Supreme Court decisions never are leaked beforehand. All of a sudden, we woke up one day and somebody, they've never found out who, someone leaked the decision. Well, the communists got themselves whipped up into a frenzy over this whole thing because there's nothing Democrats love more than slaughtering unborn babies. They just live and die for it, like any demonic society does. The Aztecs love it. Anytime you have a completely demonic society, you will find they love slaughtering babies. It just goes hand in hand. Well, the communists started freaking out. You can't overturn Roe versus Wade. Oh my gosh, kill them all. And then Roe versus Wade gets overturned. Do you remember what happened afterwards and during all this, after the leak, everything else? Protests started popping up in front of the homes of the Supreme Court justices. They're human beings, flesh and blood human beings. They live in neighborhoods just like you do, just like I do. And the street animals started getting really loud in front of their homes. So much so that people like me, like you, we were screaming that the protesters have to be arrested because that's against the law. But Joe Biden wouldn't arrest them. Nobody would go arrest these people for violating the law. It's against the law to intimidate a Supreme Court justice. No one would arrest them. And then, remember, some guy got on a plane with a gun from California and flew across the country with the intention of assassinating Brett Kavanaugh. Now, let me ask you something. All these people, they were there because they didn't want Roe versus Wade overturned. Were they successful? You'd probably say no, right? But think about this for a moment. No, they weren't successful in overturning Roe versus Wade. But do you think they were at all successful in sending a message to the Supreme Court on what will and won't be done in the wake of controversial decisions that don't go their way? Remember, it's easy to think about judges and politicians and these people as TV characters because we only see them on television. We hear them on the radio, but they're flesh and blood human beings, not just with homes,
with families. These people have husbands, wives, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers. They're flesh and blood human beings with all the same hopes and fears that you have. Let me ask you, would you at all be intimidated? I'm not saying you'd cave or anything like that, but tonight, if you went home, went in, had some dinner, after dinner, maybe the fam's sitting around chilling, getting ready to watch one of the more than 40 free online courses offered by Hillsdale College at hillsdale.edu/Jesse. And all of a sudden, a loud noise pops off out front, and you go look out the front door, the front window, and there is 100 people screaming and yelling and chanting your name in front of the house, so much so that you don't believe you can safely get the mail. Do you think that would affect you? Would you even go home the next night? Who would you call in that moment? Maybe would you send the fam away to live with your mother for a little while? Of course you would. You're a human being. Do you think those attempted assassinations and protests, do you think they actually failed? Or do you think the Supreme Court got the message loud and clear that they are at risk of physical violence if they attempt to stop the communist revolution again? I would argue those protests in front of the Supreme Court or in front of their homes, I would argue they were wildly successful. I'm not even so sure the Supreme Court's going to step in and stop these judges. Maybe while the protesters are out front, maybe those judges should go take the Constitution 101 course that's being offered by Hillsdale at no charge. Remember, there's no charge. You, me, Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, everybody can take. Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 courses online for free. You can do it with your family while the savages are out front, or just on a quiet Sunday afternoon. Do it with yourself. Get smarter. Learn from the great Hillsdale College. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go enroll. No cost. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Back to my point. Intimidation. Intimidation can be extremely effective long term, even if it doesn't get done what it wants to get done in the short term. In the long term, it can be extremely effective. And this is how communists have operated forever. Saul Alinsky wrote a book on all this. You remember all that. Pick a target, isolate it, freeze it. They've picked the Supreme Court. You and I have had this discussion so many times before. They recognize the Supreme Court numbers aren't in their favor. So they've started talking about impeaching them, killing them, impeaching them, killing them, protest them, impeach them, kill them, trying to make sure that little speed bump for the revolution gets smoothed out. And that's why we are where we are. All right. We have to make fun of Dr. Witch. We have to talk about what's happening in Deerfield, Illinois. This is going to apply to everybody. We have to get to emails. First, I want to address the foreign policy stuff. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.